Welcome to Cash Considerations, the podcast that takes you behind the Las Vegas sportsbook from the guys that actually work behind it, with your hosts, Alan Berg, Dave Sharapan, and Matoy Pearson.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time again. Cash Considerations is back on the airwaves, and we have a week of NFL football in the books. And I got my man, Matoy Pearson, with me to talk it through and go over some college football and NFL a little early talk. So but first let's bring the young star in. What's going on, Mo?
I don't want to be called a young star, man. No, I'm kidding. What's going on, Alan? What's the deal, man?
Oh man, yeah. just chilling. It was a good weekend. So I'm happy about that, which is good. We'll try to keep it rolling. Man,
it was great, man. The excitement's still rolling. Right into those two Monday night games, and everything looks like it's going pretty well. So, you know, can't wait to get ready for this week coming up, already.
No doubt. Well, I want to touch real quickly before we jump into the week ahead. Shout out to Naomi Osaka for beating Serena Williams, even though Serena Williams made it about her, which was terrible, but yeah, big ups to the 20-year-old girl for winning it all. Said it was coming, been talking about it. She's going to be the new one. She's the new king, new queen.
Alan's been talking about her for months.
That's it.
She goes by the name Naomi Osaka, a.k.a. Naomi Olaka. and then, obviously, we already went over with, when she becomes the favorite here for the next 15 years, she'll be Naomi Ochaka. Anyone that's going to try to steal something like that, we're after him. We're on him.
Oh, yeah. Without question. Yeah. Olaka to Chaksaka.
I love it. It's so great. It's incredible.
And now we have to touch on, of course, the thing everybody can't stop talking about, the one-legged Aaron Rodgers win. In my eyes, as a Bears fan who, left left the wife, so to say, for a year to go with the Jets, long history of that. If you look back through the archives, Bears fan for a long time, couldn't take the John Fox there anymore, couldn't root for him. I said I might be back. We'll see. Here I am. And they absolutely ripped my heart out. In the first regular season game, I was back all full on board. Not much to say, man. Only good thing I
you,
know
Well,
came
you were
out.
At work.
I was at work and doing good. We were doing good with all the money aspects of things for the company, which was awesome. But I was dying. And the only good thing that came out of it is my man Mo took advantage. So if you want, you can tell that story real quick.
Yeah, no, we're drunk. I'm with Case. We're at the PTs. He's got his parlays locked in with the mozzarella sticks, which came in hot, obviously. You can't really lose there. And it's funny. We took some beers first half for quite a bit. We've seen Kaiser come in. He threw his only touchdown to Khalil Mack, who obviously doesn't play for the Raiders. Plays for the Bears now.
He also doesn't play for the Packers. So
doesn't play for the Packers. Oh, yeah, yeah. Just for anyone listening. Yeah, good call. Good call. Thank you. And, so he, I think the Bears were a pick. A lot of steam was running their way because, Rodgers getting carted off. And also, we actually got, a little bit down on Bears second half. And I'm thinking, if Kaiser plays, they're going to try to, rub it in their face. But we see Rodgers come back on the field, and I'm like, how? How is he, And, long story short, he throws that 40-yard bomb to Geronimo. And I just looked at my phone. I said, I think they're going to win. I mean, I don't know. I was kind of a shot in the dark still, obviously, at the time. It's not like the Bears were getting stuffed or – you know what I mean? They were still moving the ball, but I mean, I seen that throw, and it was just like a whole different game. I was like, that's just unreal. So, it was I think I was like at plus 340 for the Packers there for 100 and some change. So, pretty decent, pretty exciting. I thought the excitement was more than the win itself. You know how I am, Alan.
I'm gonna make you buy beers for me the next time we hang out, and I'm just going to chuck them against the wall.
That's fine. Actually, I wouldn't have it any other way. Yeah, so – I'm going to start throwing them.
I'll be like, excuse me, I don't want the can. Can I please have a glass? I want the bottle or a glass, sir, because they're going to get broken. So tell them to come.
Just bring all the glass you can.
That's it. Oh, man, absolutely terrible. Hopefully they bounce back. They played well for, two and a half quarters. So We'll see going forward. But moving on to more bright things, you know, we did our big three episode, brought in our boys Kyle and Matt, and we did great, man. 7-4-1 was the final verdict on 12 picks.
Pretty good. Yeah, not bad. Yeah.
Hey, if you bet a unit on each one, you're up 3 units right now. So right. No harm there. You know,
we also didn't mean for it to be 2 Cal plays. We just
talked to each other. That was me doing the interviews with them.
Yeah,
so.
Matt said he hated all my plays. So
including
I didn't even
the
know
one
he had
you,
Cal.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was – I mean, you know, like – he laughed at Fresno State, which was fine because we're in the force. It's behind us. But we didn't even talk about Cal much. We did a little bit, but we didn't know it was going to end up as our big three.
Right, right, right. Yeah, it's all good. Hey, if it's good, then, you know, like we used to always say, you know, if two of us are on something, then maybe that's the game you go a little extra on. So,
of course.
And if you did this week, then you won a little extra.
Big winner, baby. What's
yeah,
up?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
What's up, dog? What's up?
Well, anyway, let's get into it, man. We'll kind of touch, kind of have Mo versus the top 25 of college football here, and I'll give you a few games, and then we'll kind of do the old blowout game where I give you a bunch of huge spreads and tell us which one you like.
Yeah,
and then we'll put more of a focus on a couple of the marquee, you know, the two top 25 teams going head to head, and then. We'll get a couple takes from you, and then we'll save maybe some stuff for the big three, the true three, as you might call it. And you know, and then but feel free to give anybody a lean or even a play if you like something that you maybe don't know you'll like later.
Yeah, I think you know, we've been doing great, man. So yeah, whenever you're ready.
All right, well, let's jump in. We got number 5 Oklahoma at Iowa State. Oklahoma's -17.5. Looks like there's some 17 and 18s out there. You know, the total is looking to be around 55.5, although it didn't look like anybody has done any releases yet, which isn't the most surprising thing in the world. But what are your thoughts on this game?
Well, it's a pretty big game. Last year, you know, for anyone that's listening that knows, Iowa State actually beat Oklahoma in Oklahoma. Pretty big upset at the time. Oklahoma, big favorite, obviously, at home. You know, Baker Mayfield coming off the big win against Ohio State. I think it was maybe a couple weeks after that. So, you know, it's hard to put the revenge game factor into it, which there probably is. But, you know, you look at Iowa State, they just took a tough loss to Iowa, who absolutely annihilated Northern Illinois the week prior. So, I mean, you know, Iowa doesn't seem like they're messing around on defense. Now they got to play an Oklahoma team who, you know, the defense is not as much. I mean, they've been playing a little bit better. But it's just hard to, you know, be able to keep up with this Kyler Murray offense that Oklahoma's had for the last couple weeks. I mean, as far as the take, though, my bad. I was thinking that you're going to jump in.
Oh,
I apologize.
No, you're good.
No, but as you can see, Oklahoma's offense is still running on all cylinders. Murray, front runner right now. He's you know, in the Heisman candidacy. It seems like he's got everything going. Unfortunately for Oklahoma, they. Their star running back, also another Heisman candidate, Rodney Anderson's out. Looks like he had a knee injury. He'll be out for the year. But it seems like they got a lot of skilled guys on the perimeter receiving-wise that are getting it done. You know, they're laying – this is a pretty big number right now. They're laying it on the road. Seems like somewhere where you could probably catch a something decent here with Matt Campbell at home with Iowa State. They missed their first game, lose a rough one in the rivalry game. Taking 18 doesn't seem as crazy, but just the way that offense is moving for Oklahoma, if Iowa State can't keep up, they're losing a lot of their guys from last year. Could be another blowout for the Sooners.
All right. They've got number 21, Miami. Also, again, I think too high in the top 25. Laying 10 on the road at Toledo. Looks like there's a couple 10.5s. 56.5 to 57.5 seems to be around where the total is going to be. Any thoughts here?
Well, I mean, we've seen Miami kind of, you know, get off to a little bit of a rough start against LSU. You know, me and you were there during that
let's not reminisce.
We're going to keep moving on to Savannah State, who they ended up playing this last week in
No praise for that either. No praise.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's hard to really get that turnover chain going when you're barely turning the ball or getting turnovers for your team.
It's better than it's better than the FSU turnover backpack.
I thought the backpack was a joke. Sidebar. I seen it on Twitter. I said, how this can't be. And I guess like 400 teams have their own turnover deal. You know what I mean?
It's incredible how much my team inspires the rest of college football when they're good. It's
change the game. Yeah, Boise State has a throne, which I think it's okay.
Yeah, that's
all right. Where are you carrying it to? You know what I mean? It's a damn chair. You can bring the chain in a bag. You know what I mean? It just seems like it's kind of ridiculous.
This is true. This is all true.
Oh,
this
Memphis! Is we just seen today. Memphis has a Ric Flair robe.
Oh, it's pretty my goodness. Sick.
That one I know you'd like, man. We'll probably get a Ric Flair cue in there sometime soon.
Oh man, we'll have to be passing around the Ric Flair robe for the big three.
Yeah, man. We got some video someday.
We'll have to do that. We'll have to do something wild.
Sure. Yeah, we will. We'll put it on. Mm-hmm. Guaranteed. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna get a robe. So we got some moves on Toledo +10.5 early in this week. Obviously the lines have only been out for a day and some change, but some guys that we actually knew took some Toledo +10.5. Can't really see where steam could go here in this game. I think Toledo played some Miami last year or the year prior, and Miami kind of got out on them. You know, defensively they could wear you down, which Miami did last year. And it didn't really take much if the offense can get a couple scores and get up on you. So Jason Candle's the coach for Toledo. Great coach. He took over for Campbell, who we just talked about in the Iowa State game prior. So it's not like you're getting a guy who's intimidated by big teams like this. You know, they've seen their fair share. MAC teams usually come out and play. Eastern Michigan beat Purdue last week, which we'll get into. Me, I'll take the 10. You know, it's not like Miami's been surprising anyone. You know, Toledo's kind of like on the rebuild right now at the time. But, you know, if I could take 10.5 with a team that's pretty well formed in itself, you know, as from the coach's perspective, I think they'll at least have enough offense to stay within the 10.
Nice. All right. Toledo probably wins outright. But anyway.
Oh, yeah. That's
good. BYU. At number 6, Wisconsin. Wisconsin laying 21.5. Couple 21s and 22s out there. Total's looking a little low, 44.5. BYU is kind of, you know, had moments. Do you feel like they're being a little disrespected with this line, or is Wisconsin just that good?
Sure. BYU comes out their first game on the road and absolutely dominate Arizona. Which didn't seem like much after Houston embarrassed them on Saturday. And then they play Cal. That's the team that, you know, we had on the big three. And it's not like they're playing no slouch. Cal's a great team. They had to go on the road. It was a rough one, more of a defensive battle. But this game here, you got Wisconsin. They rolled over two gimmies to an extent, New Mexico and Western Kentucky, no disrespect. This is a home-and-home from last year. It's funny. I talked to Lindemann. We both had BYU last year. BYU. It's steamrolled. They score the first three, and then I forgot the final because I didn't watch the rest. It was rough. It was very tough to watch. So, yeah, no, from what you're saying, yeah, I think right now Coach Satake and Tanner Magnum and my boy, Squally Canada.
Squally.
Squall God. Yeah, Squall King. But, you know, these guys are ready. I think defensively, I haven't seen much from Wisconsin. I think they've been more vanilla. Jonathan Taylor's been great, and Hornibrook's been taking care of the ball. So, you know, for most of the games, BYU needs to get turnovers just as much as stops. You know, if you let Wisconsin roll over you, and you know BYU plays anything like they did against Cal, where they couldn't get any points, it could get ugly. But with the 20 points, it seems like a lot. I like BYU with the points, even though you would have to learn from the past. I never do. Just give me the Mormons if it seems good, it has to be good, just in my mind. That's how it is. It's crazy.
Number one, Alabama at Ole Miss. Alabama's laying 21, couple places, 21.5. Total seems kind of high for an Alabama game, 70.5 and 71. Is Ole Miss's defense just that trash?
Yeah, and then I think I don't know if they're giving too much respect to the younger guys that are in the back seven for Alabama as well. Ole Miss just played last week against the Salukis, Southern Illinois. It's not college basketball. They put up 41 points on him in the first half. I couldn't believe it. I was sitting there at South Point. I kept saying, is anybody else watching this game? I mean, and this is before Ole Miss scored like 30 in the fourth. It was just an abomination of us. Like 70-41 was the final. Just surreal.
Wild.
But Alabama has a quarterback. Not sure if many people know about him. Tua Tagovailoa, young god, Lord.
Say it again.
Samoan king, young lord, the lord of lords.
Full name?
Tua Tagovailoa.
There it is.
He's ready. He's not tonguing. And I hate when – I know he's a Hawaiian native. But give my guy some – he's a Samoan kid. I mean, he's Samoan. If he was on the defensive line, they'd be calling him Samoan. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
So this is what we got. I mean, he comes out. He plays great against Louisville. They give Hurts some reps. He comes in against Arkansas State, 4 touchdowns within seconds. I mean, you know, it's effortless, and we're waiting for him to play SEC defenses, which it's going to happen here. A lot of the guys are scouting him. You know what I mean? So, Ole Miss they're going to have trouble with this kid though, because Alabama brings the skill players to, you know, dominate anyone. We don't ever see much of an offense from Bama, but we will on Saturday. You know what I mean? And it's funny, Ole Miss actually has their own Samoan quarterback, Jordan Ta'amu, which it's crazy. It's the Battle of Samoan Quarterbacks. Get that one right now recorded. That's what we're talking about. Battle of the Samoan QBs. They're going to throw for like 25 touchdowns.
Oh, man.
It's going to be sick. And it's going to end in a draw. It's going to end in a tie. And not my best. But anyway, so for me, it's hard to lay something like this. Alabama comes off 2 easy wins. Seems like they're dominating. It's not like they beat any slouches. Arkansas State's going to beat it to win the Sun Belt, possibly. And then Louisville's going to pull it together with Petrino at the helm. On the flip side, though, Ole Miss, it seems like they have a rough game here against the Salukis defensively. That's fine. They, you know, kind of get out on Texas Tech. But, you know, last year Ole Miss gets blown out. The last couple years prior to that, they stick in there, sticking with them. 2015, they actually beat them.
I had Ole Miss in that game, and I never been college football.
No, I believe it. Yeah, we talk all the time, man. We were right there on Mississippi State. Mississippi State almost got them last year.
Yeah, true story. Another true story.
But yeah, I figure we take the points here. I mean, look, if we lose 52-6, then you're listening. Everyone's listening. But I'm gonna just take the points with BYU as well. And just hope for the best. How about that?
I like it. Number 22, USC heads to Texas. Texas actually the favorite here. I guess the home field maybe, -3, 3.5 at some books. Total 48.5 it looks like it's going to be. USC did not look good against Stanford, but, you know, Stanford's a good team. Texas is kind of all over the place. So first off, I guess the question is the right team favored?
I think so. You know, like me and you talked about last week, when USC went up against Stanford, it was based on JT Daniels and how he acclimated to the pressure of, you know, being a quarterback. He gets out slow against UNLV. He plays Stanford the next week. They only scored 3 points. You know what I mean? So, you know, just within that, they're going to have to play this Texas team who's been struggling to an extent. They lose to Maryland, barely squeak out a win against Tulsa last week, or on Saturday, I mean. Same deal. So, yeah, I mean, I figure from obviously being at home, which is a big deal, you know, 3 points is key there. I think the line is fair. I'm waiting on JT Daniels to, you know, relieve some pressure. Looks like USC's defense is hanging in there. For me, it's hard for me not to bet some USC here, taking the 3. But, you know, if Texas kind of had a look-ahead game against Tulsa right there, you know, wouldn't be so much surprised to see Texas up late, maybe by 7 to 10 points, while USC is struggling to get back in the game if Daniels doesn't get it together.
Very good. Number 10, Washington heads to Utah, laying 6.5. Total's looking like 47.5. For listeners, I mean, you know, we know Mo likes Utah. So let's see, is he still on the train?
Man, you know, it's – And, like, I was drunk at South Point. I just kept saying when Utah beat Northern Illinois, I don't care what the number is, I'm going to bet Washington. As soon as the number came out, I just said, hold the phone. So I haven't made a decision yet.
Okay.
I don't want to get too far ahead being biased, You know how I do.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I'm a freak. I'm sick. But, you know, I got much love for him. And that was a tough fought game against Northern Illinois. Like I said, they're not going against any slouches, and it's on the road. Northern Illinois has been equipped with a great defense. They have a great, they had a great defense that day. Final score is 17-6. Utah hasn't given up a touchdown in, I think, the last six quarters. That's the last half of the Weber State game to all four quarters of the Northern Illinois game. And that was only basically off a pick six. So they really haven't given up any offensive touchdowns. Washington, on the other hand, has played better talent. More elite, the more elite talent played Auburn, a great game, neutral site. And then I think they played North Dakota. I'm not actually sure who they played. Maybe East Washington, FCS school. You know, they got by them. Something clean. Get them ready for a big game like this on the road in Utah. And we've been talking about this. We've looked at their schedule from June to see who mm-hmm. Utah played.
True story.
And I've loved this game. I thought this was a big game. Utah has a bye right after as well, so it's something to look forward to. They don't have to jump ahead. They just got to be there right in the moment. For anybody that knows anything about college football, Utah is one of the roughest places to play. It gets loud. The fans are all there. They play tough. Whittingham's a great coach. You know, they're going up against Peterson. They're going up against guys like Gaskin and Browning and that elite defense. I lean more under here. I like the under in this game a lot. Okay. I think it's going to be fierce. I think they're going to get in each other's faces. I think Utah's defense is for real. Look for this one to be close. I've got some words, and I've seen some numbers where the number might not be enough. But, you know,
this is like the one that's like 16-16, and you got Utah plus 6.5, and then there's the late touchdown that wins it for Washington. And you don't
exactly.
Cover,
right? Yeah. Or maybe like you're down 6, and then they kick a late field goal to like kind of seal it. You know, it's just pain. You can see it. You can feel it in what we're talking. You know what I'm saying? So, you know,
they
that's
all
what
do.
We're kind of getting.
All these people do.
You know, like, and if like, I don't even know what would be worse, that or just Washington smoking them. You know, I'll let you know after the game. I'll give you a call, Alan.
Sounds good. But
I like under more here. So okay. I'll give you guys the total. And then, you know, if they end up on my big three, they'll figure it out then.
Nice. Number 23, Arizona State, laying 4.5 at San Diego State. A couple books with 5. Total looks like a solid 45.5. Obviously, Arizona State is fully in the front of the train, a.k.a. the hype train. Short number here. Can't imagine this isn't on every single college football parlay on Saturday.
Yeah. No, I agree. The Herm train is already, you know, left the station, and people are running after it.
They're running out of track.
Yeah, I mean, he's actually on my list on Twitter of teams that'll never lose again, and it's just under Herm Edwards. It's not even under the Sun Devils. We'll probably get to that later.
Oh, the list. We got to get the list on here.
I think we'll get to the list at the end, if that's fine.
Oh,
is that
okay.
Cool?
Yeah, we'll do the list at the end. I love it.
All right, perfect.
Stay tuned.
If they have to. You know, it's been big. Arizona State gets a big win against they have two FBS wins. Not too many of these new coaches can say that. You know what I mean? They have an FCS win and then some type of embarrassing loss. But he gets a Michigan State win, hard fought. Michigan State, I don't even know why they agreed to play in this game. I mean, at one point it was like 2:30 Michigan time, you know what I mean, on the West Coast late in that fourth quarter. You know what I mean? It's just sick. So, San Diego State loses Christian Chapman, their quarterback. Seems like he's out. Some information that I got, and obviously they don't have Rashad Penny, just Jawan Washington, who he's great. But I mean, if he's going to have to carry it on his shoulders, I don't think he's anything like a Penny or Donnell Pumphrey. So they don't throw enough. Seemed like Michigan State couldn't get the ball going on throwing it, and UTSA was basically a SOL, to say the least. But I like Rocky Long. Like I said, you know, me and you, when we talk, I like coaches. Like quarterbacks are big, but coaching, it's huge in college football, and it matters, especially you know, in games like this when you're missing some key guys. But I think more or less beyond coaching and beyond even stats, it's talent in college football that gets teams over the hump and gets them to cover these spreads when you don't think they can. So here, like, maybe under again. I just can't see San Diego State scoring much, you know, not without the quarterback. And if, you know, their backs are there trying to, you know, getting stuffed, you know, I can't see too much scoring. I lean under here a lot. But if I had to lay some points, man, I'd probably go with Arizona State because it's a team that will never lose again. I already posted it.
Nice. All right. So now we're down to the key games and then the blowout of the week. So here we go. I'm going to run through the blowouts. So stay with me there. Kent State at number 11, Penn State, -34.5, the Nittany Lions. Blowout number two, Georgia Southern at number two, Clemson, 34.5. Blowout number three, SMU at number 19, Michigan, 35.5. Blowout number four, San Jose State at number 20, Oregon, 41.5. Blowout number five, Middle Tennessee State at number three, Georgia, -32.5. Blowout number six, Louisiana Lafayette at number 16, Mississippi State, 32.5. And that rounds up the blowouts of the top 25. So, Mo, any of these stick out to you as, like, you know, go ahead and put that on the parlay because it's coming in?
Watch out for Michigan here. They come up with an incredible win against Western Michigan where they don't have to throw as much. They got some touchdown system receivers, which they rarely do. And they got out on them and played great defense doing it. I think they won that game 49-3. I look at SMU's last couple games. They played TCU. They play them tough. It's a rainy day. They get up 9-7. They could barely score any points after. They lose about by 30. And then they let Mason Fine from North Texas throw for about 400 yards on them. So Michigan has Nebraska next right after this SMU game. Watch out for Michigan to keep their foot on the pedal. And try to win this one, handily, maybe around by, 35 to 42 points. So I think that's something that people can look on right now.
Nice.
Yeah. On the which one was number five? I apologize.
Let's see. That would have been Middle Tennessee State and Georgia, 32.5.
Oh yeah, man. How about don't bet against Georgia like I did? how about that one for the listeners? It's funny. I was just reading about Clemson and Georgia Southern, and they were asking Brent Venables, the highest paid coordinator in college football, well deserved defensive coordinator. They're asking what if anybody knew about Georgia Southern's offense, and sarcastically he said, what do you want to know? to all the reporters. I mean, the guy's pretty fired up. Clemson's on another level. I know Texas A&M gave him a run for the money. But, you know, if Georgia Southern, if they can't run the ball because they run that triple option, Clemson's going to get on them quick. So I think that could be another one that could kind of erupt in Georgia Southern's face. One game that I don't know, did we bring up UL Monroe? I think we brought up Lafayette. Is that correct?
Yeah, Lafayette, yeah. Monroe's probably playing somebody that's not top 25.
Oh, apologies. Well, this is another one I actually just want to put in the blowout column, if that's fine.
Yeah, go ahead,
man. They play Texas A&M. They're a 27-point dog. I asked Matty if he liked UL Monroe. He laughed. We laughed. It was actually just kind of a spark it. But I just see Texas A&M coming off a tough loss. You know what I mean? And it seems like they're going to try to get back on track. Jimbo Fisher's, pretty good, solid at that. UL Monroe's won some close games. Against Southern Miss and Southeast Louisiana State. I can't make this up. It's not even a joke. It's actually happening. But I think they can at least stay close enough to make it a game where, if they're not completely out of the 20-point blowout, but people will kind of watch it considering, it's just kind of like a game that Texas A&M probably tried to look ahead, tried to get a win on. After losing close to Clemson, so I think that's another one that people should look in on. UL Monroe +27, I think it is.
Very nice. All right, now we move on to the top 25 matchups that feature two top 25 teams in the games. Number 12 LSU has number 7 Auburn. Auburn laying 10, a couple books and 9.5. Totals looking around 44.5, 45. What are your thoughts here, Mo?
LSU screams square dog, like right out the gate. It seems like a lot of points. Not like LSU hasn't been, up to par. I think they're a little bit more overrated, but It seems like they're kind of going over what we expect, over expectations. Auburn's always had they've already had the defense on lock. It's the offense that we wanted to see from Auburn, just as much from LSU. So I don't know what to put or why to put so much stock into a price that's a little bit more than what I thought it would be personally, you know, being 10 and 9.5. But, you know, most of these guys that are putting numbers up like this aren't wrong too much. So, you know, fighting at home, revenge – or not – to an extent a revenge game. It's always a rivalry between SEC opponents. But LSU beats Auburn last year, shuts out Auburn in the second half, win a game on a punt return from DJ Chark. Great wild game. I had LSU. That's why I remember everything I'm saying. I just wouldn't remember it off memory, man.
Sure. But
for something like this you know, it's just going to be such a big game for Auburn. And you know what, like I, for right now, it's early. I would say laying the points and, you know, Auburn getting out on LSU early, getting after Burrow, making a statement, you know, showing everyone they're still here, you know, while people were kind of underrating Auburn. You know, they had that big game against Washington, nothing against LSU, you know, after beating Miami, but, you know, Miami just seemed you know, out of sync. They're making a lot of mistakes. Auburn seems real. I know Washington's real. So if we're going to compare talent within teams they've played. So I'm willing to lay 9.5 early, but give me about like 4 hours and then I'll call back and be like, nah, I'm going to take the other side.
Classic Mo. All right. Number 17, Boise State. That's the number 24. Number 24, Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State minus 2.5. I believe this did open 3, but 2.5 is pretty solid across the board. Total looking like 63.5. Good game to see, like, which one of these teams might be for real, yeah?
Yeah, man, this is a one that we've been talking about in the hub for a little bit between each other. Boise State coming off 2 incredible blasting teams. Blast Troy by Con by 40. I mean, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then Oklahoma State, on the other hand, they play I think Missouri State first. They beat them by 20. And then I can't really remember who they played Saturday. Oh, South Alabama. And then they got out on them as well. You know, so a lot of people were low on Oklahoma State from what I was hearing. I said I thought they could be an underdog in a Big 12 that's, to an extent, you know, somewhat wide open and with a championship now. So I didn't have anything wrong with Oklahoma State. But this Boise State seems real. And everything that I read prior to coming in with Harsin and ripping back at quarterback, they'd be in a New Year's Six Bowl, which I just kept laughing at. And, you know, I'm wrong a lot of the time. So seems like these guys are pretty locked in. It's a great game for both. I know they've been waiting for it. Right here, just off the top, you know, if you could have grabbed 3.5 when it opened, even 3s at the time, you know, yesterday, I think you're in a great position for a close game. They haven't really played anybody defensively yet. To an extent, I can't really see what's going on. But you got a team like Boise State that travels really well, and Gundy's no stranger to big games himself. So this could be one of the best games of the week. I'd go ahead and take the points with the Mountain West team, Boise State. And then just go with the defense that they've been rocking with. I think they'll stifle them enough to at least cover the spread and possibly get a win there.
Gundy is definitely comfortable. I mean, he's out there shilling for a tropical smoothie cafe, talking about adding vodka, and that if he did, he'd have a ride home. He says this at the press conference after the South Alabama game. It was amazing. I was like, you didn't see it? Oh, no, my man. God, you got immediately go to Twitter after this recording. I mean, it is hilarious. It is.
I feel terrible. I can't chop it up with you. Go ahead.
I was looking at the guys as I'm watching this on Twitter. I said, have you guys seen this? And they're like, what? And I go, is this real? Is this real life? We've got a head coach. And he's like, he's got the straw out and he's like dipping it in the smoothie as they're talking to him. And he's answering questions. And then he just randomly starts talking about the smoothie and vodka. It was incredible. I was like, this guy's amazing. I know he's of the drinking age, so it's fine, you know. And he said he was going to do it responsibly, so it's all good.
I like it. I like Oklahoma State. If I'd seen that, I would have picked the Cowboys.
No, that's I gotta it, go, man. That's it,
boy. You're gonna. I think you already have an Oklahoma State ticket. I'm pretty sure you do.
He likes it. Here we go. All right, number four, Ohio State, neutral site against number 15 TCU. I believe it's in Cowboy Stadium, Arlington. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yep, cool.
That's correct.
Ohio State's laying 13.5. A couple books total, looking like 60. This is the last one on the board, Mo, for us tonight for college football. What are your thoughts here? I mean, TCU's obviously thought of as a relatively decent team being at 15, and they're not having to play on the road here. You know, do they got any shot to cause some havoc for Ohio State?
It's going to be a tough one for Ohio State. And I truly believe that. You know, we've already talked about two of the front runners for the Heisman candidacy. That's going to be Kyler Murray from Oklahoma and our boy Tua Tagovailoa from Alabama. Now we got Dwayne. Oh, it's a champion. You know, I got down a little bit here and there. I mean, we'll talk about it. We'll discuss. We'll split it evenly.
I don't want any of that A God money. Don't even give me any of that.
I'll hang this phone up right now. I ain't gonna hold. No. So, well, now we can go ahead and talk about Dwayne Haskins from Ohio State, who's been playing great, and Ohio State's been playing great. Obviously, they're playing lower tier talent for the most part. It's gonna be a good one. We just watched TCU against SMU in the rain. Had to get it together, but their offense looked pretty solid. Man, that Turpin kid. From TCU, that kid's got wheels. Holy smokes!
Yeah, he does.
We're gonna see him on Sundays. Let's go ahead and lock that in as a Mostradamus take.
Nice.
Get my Turpin jersey ready here shortly. but that's what it's gonna take from TCU. Their perimeter guys offensively, because Ohio State's got super crazy athletes on defense. Really hard to just get around anyone. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So Sean Robinson, the quarterback for TCU, you know, he hasn't really played in many big games. You know, welcome to the big stage. You're in Jerry's world against Ohio State. So, for Gary Patterson, it's going to be a tough job to kind of corral all the athletes that Ohio State has. Unfortunately, I've seen a lot of Tate Martell on playing Rutgers. And never liked him. I know he went to Bishop Gorman. He just seemed smug. That's just a personal thing. I guess we could talk about that later. But I don't want to see him in the game. I want it to be close enough so I can see Haskins and Robinson go at it. And I want to see TCU's defense stifle and get turnovers against Ohio State. I see 13. I see 12.5. I got to take it on a neutral site. I know Ohio State's got the athletes and got the firepower to blow teams out. But just watch the athletes that TCU has and the coaching job that Gary Patterson does here. I think he does a great job. They're not playing lower tier talent. These guys are hungry. They're from Texas. Give me the Horned Frogs with the points, and I'll leave it at that.
Nice. All right. Well, that pretty much wraps up college football, and it's time to start rolling through NFL Week 2. So I'm going to jump right in, man, because we're running. So,
yep.
Thursday.
Handle your biz.
Yeah, absolutely. Thursday night, we got Baltimore at Cincinnati. Both teams won in week one. Line open, Baltimore is a favorite. Starting to drift down. Cincinnati a pick with us. In most places, there's still a -1 Baltimore out there. 43.5 the total, couple 44s. My initial reaction was I wouldn't have given points up in this game. I don't think that Baltimore could be really good. Joe Flacco does seem inspired. However, he played to me one of the worst teams in the league last week. So it's kind of wait and see. It's not a game I'm like really eager to bet on. I'm not really sure who these two teams are yet, but I definitely wouldn't have given Cincinnati points at home in this game. They've always seemed to play Baltimore pretty well. And they knocked them out of the playoffs last year. So, I take the wait and see approach. So, any thoughts on the Thursday night game here, Mo?
I think I like the Bengals just off thinking about it.
The hype on the Ravens.
Yeah. Give me some Bengals. Give me some Marvin. Right. I'm okay with that.
He likes Marvin. All right, moving on to Sunday, we've got
the Marv.
Still working. Indianapolis heads to Washington.
That's great.
This is kind of an interesting game. I mean, Washington's 5.5. There's actually a 6 out there. Total's 45.5, 46. Indy didn't play well. I mean, fact of the matter, they didn't play well. Both sides of the ball, they just had some mistakes. Luck still looked pretty good, but they're still suffering for them from an offensive line. It's just not very good. I think if you twist my arm here, I'd try to take the 6 with the Colts. I really did like Washington last week, although it wasn't a part of my big three. I just didn't think much of the Cardinals coming into the year. I think they lost a lot with Arians leaving and having a new regime and, you know, having some offensive line problems, and the defense kind of dropped off a little bit. So I was surprised when I saw some decent players kind of backing the Cardinals. But yeah, I thought Washington performed well. But if you're going to twist my arm, I'd probably take Indy here. Any thoughts?
I didn't watch 1 second of the Cardinals game. The only thing I was thinking was I had a chance to get Peterson in the 10th round of one of my drafts.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot I traded that pick and someone picked him in that round.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to pick the Colts. How about that? I'm just going to piggyback off what you're going with.
He's going with Spite. He's going with Berg and Spite. Which goes hand in hand, really.
I'm okay with that. That's actually good. It's going to be the spinoff show of Cash Considerations.
Oh, yes. So
we're good to go there, my friend.
Next up, we got Carolina at Atlanta. Atlanta minus 5.5. We have 44.5. A couple 44s out there. I'm going to get more into this one in the big three. I guarantee it'll be in there. So let me just kind of get your take, and then we'll move along.
Hold on. I almost started saying something. What game is this? Hold on, my man. No.
He's only on the show, people. He's only on the show. Carolina at Atlanta, fool.
Oh, dude. Okay. Actually, one of the only games I did bet was Carolina in the first half that wasn't that Bears game.
The Dallas game?
Yeah, it was more of a fade Dallas play.
Sure.
And it could have still blew up in my face late.
That's true.
But, you know, Atlanta's coming off a tough loss. You know, they couldn't get any scores in the red zone. Sarkisian got it pretty bad in social media, which he deserved it to an extent. If I had to flip – I mean, I guess I'll just go with Atlanta. I mean, I don't even know if these are legitimate takes. But just give me some Falcons, and then – I'll go with Matt Ryan.
Well, it's entertaining. I'll give you that.
Sure, that's what I figured. So if any, like, there's got to be people listening. Matt Ryan is the guy that we're gonna go with here. Roll with me.
Nice. All right. Well, we got Minnesota, Green Bay, and Houston, Tennessee. Both have no lines. So we'll try to touch on those later in the week when things get a little more clear and we have some actual lines to look at. We have the LA Chargers at Buffalo. Chargers laying 7.5, even money. There is a 7 out there with some juice. Total 43. Total's kind of a little all over the place, 42.5s, 43.5s. Man, I mean, I'm not rushing to the window to lay 7.5 with the Chargers based on how bad their defense looked in week one against Kansas City. But at the same token, Buffalo might be the worst team in the league. And I told our boy at work, Patrick, I said, this is the game where we either look back and say, wow, it should have been 17.5 Chargers or it should have been 3. So I just don't see any in between here. So for me, it's a complete pass. If you want to take the risk of taking Buffalo here with probably Josh Allen and still just those horrendous offensive weapons, if you want to call them that. And then the Chargers, who, you know, theoretically should be able to go through the air like Baltimore did, but they're the Chargers. They do what they do. I mean, it's incredible. So, you know, any thought here, Mo?
Well, how about this? I want to go out on record saying that me and you like Chiefs because why were the Chargers favored? Do you remember?
Yeah.
We said this.
Yes,
so
it's true.
They lost, so that's real. That happened. And we weren't even kidding at the time either, which was even greater. It just, man, there's gonna. I can't wait to see the ticket count on Buffalo. As the week kind of continues, and it's just gonna be hard to get off set, or it's not gonna be too hard, but it's gonna be hard to get off of that number because I know there might be some guys that are gonna try some Chargers plus 7.5, or maybe like, you know, getting some Buffalo, type of even
Buffalo
money.
Buffalo plus 7.5.
Or Buffalo plus 7.5. Yeah, yeah. Or, you know, so on and so forth. So, you know, it's a, I guess, is it a revenge game for Nathan Peterman? Like, does he care that they're playing against a team against that really embarrassed him?
I don't think he's starting, bro.
Oh, he's not?
I don't think so. How could they start that guy again?
Oh, my God.
I mean, I figured this was the Josh Allen line. If that guy's starting again, I mean, I don't know what to say.
I no, mean, dude.
He's had two of the worst games, like, he's had two of the worst back-to-back games in NFL history. I mean, we've had some really bad quarterbacks we've seen in the NFL. So that's saying something, man.
It's, like, you can't say the guy's been in a bad spot against, like, every NFL team. You know what I mean? Like, he's, you know, it's just getting out of control. I don't know. It's hard for me not to bet. Can I just do, like, is Chargers first half more square? Can I just do that? I think I'm going to do that.
It's probably square, but it's cool. One of the square things is probably coming into this game in somehow, some form. I don't know.
Yeah,
but I mean, you know, man.
Yeah, the Bills are bad.
Yeah,
the Bills are just bad.
He didn't have any first downs, Nathan Peterman. He threw for 24 yards, bro.
Did Baltimore have any defensive touchdowns?
They might have had Ray Lewis and Ed Reed back in their prime with the way this kid played. I have no idea. He was 5 of 18. God.
Dude, they're going wild. They probably had their own turnover robe or something on the Ravens sideline. You know what I mean? It's just crazy. I feel bad for Peterman.
I'll go on record.
It's just a mess. It's a mess. Jesus.
All right, let's move along. Enough Bills talk. All right.
Sorry about that.
Oh, it's fine. Kansas City at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh laying 4.5. Couple fives out there. Total looking like 52.5, 53. This will also be one of my big three games, pretty sure. So I'm going to kind of stay off of talking about this one as well. So you'll have to tune in later in the week. Mo, you got anything you'd like to say about it?
Hey, Le'Veon, is any sign of him? What's the deal?
Zero shot, I think. I think he's now dug his heels in for the long term. He has no reason to come back until week 10.
Any Steelers team that doesn't have Le'Veon, I'm gonna pick the Chiefs.
Okay.
I like the Chiefs.
The plus fade. Five.
I gotta bet, yeah. I'm okay with Chiefs. I like Mahomes. They're gonna be right there. If they don't win it, they'll be right there.
Okay. Next up, we have Miami at the Jets. Jets minus 3, even money. Maybe a 2.5 out there. 44s are total. You know, this line opened, I think, Dolphins minus 2 before the Monday night thrashing of the Lions that the Jets performed. You know, I was big on the Jets in that game. Not crazy about laying 3 here with against the Dolphins. I feel like it's a different spot. Not nearly the kind of value. Probably would have been interested in plus 2 at home. But, yeah, I think this is a much closer game, and I'm not excited to lay 3 with the Jets.
How about my guy Frank Gore? 9 carries for 61 yards, grinding it out.
What a legend.
He's just a top dog.
He gets
no
love.
He's a god. He plays the game on a different level. They don't know much about him. I've been watching him my whole life. He's one of the greatest running backs of all time. I don't care what anyone says.
I love it. I love the passion.
You were there. Yeah. You like him.
I
talk about him.
I love
all the
Gore.
Time.
Gore came from the U, baby. I'm all about Frank Gore. He's fantastic.
He changed my life, man. He played it from the underdog role. They didn't give him the ball at the 4 against the Ravens. We lost the Super Bowl. I don't want to sound like the Seahawks fans.
Deep takes.
So, the Jets, it's funny. As soon as Darnold throws the pick 6, I text Allen. I go, hey, I was just kidding about anything I said about Darnold. 2 hours later, they're up 30. No, I was kidding about the last text. I was just kidding about the last text.
That was some classic stuff.
Oh, it was beautiful, man.
I didn't know what to say. I just let it go.
It was
incredible. I said, I'm just going to let this one go and see what happens. And I was glad I did.
I figured, like, because I didn't think you were watching it early. But when you seen the second text and you looked at the score, I think, like, you figured, like, I thought you were laughing, man. Like, oh, this guy's wild.
I'm honestly not trying to sound arrogant, but I knew that was the worst NFL line of the week. I could not understand how a team with a good defense like the Jets was getting 6.5 from a newly coached Matt Patricia team, a guy who's, to me, shown not a whole lot to gain a head coaching job. I was – I was just stunned that it was 6.5. I couldn't believe it. To me, that's like them playing at, like, I don't know, Kansas City or, you know.
Right.
I mean, the Lions? Against, I mean, yeah, come on, man.
New court, new coach. He doesn't know much about the offense. I mean, they look slow. They look like they couldn't get it together. You know, Stafford had a rough time, man.
Yeah.
Pulling. They couldn't get any yards. They couldn't put anything together.
Listen, the only reason the Jets were that good last year is because of how good their defense was. So, I mean, it wasn't like that was going to change a whole lot, I feel like. So,
Darnold had that sick pass to Robbie Anderson.
Yeah,
Him and Anunua were connecting.
Yeah.
You know what
he's
I mean?
He's got talent. He has NFL-level talent. My only concern about Darnold is I do think that the better defenses he plays, he's going to turn the ball over too much. But – We'll see.
We'll see. Not every defense is going to just give you passing lanes everywhere
right,
you look.
Right. But the other thing is, too, it's not like the kid can't get better. So, you know, whether he struggles or not at points in his rookie season, it's his rookie season. So everybody just has to kind of, you know, give it time. I mean, you can't expect a guy to just be amazing, like, right away. It's very rare that happens.
With that being said, I still like the Jets.
Okay, fair.
I like the Jets, yeah. I like Darnold. I like what they're doing. Bowles knows what's going on.
Give me Frank Gore. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey-o. I'm okay all with right. that.
Philadelphia -3 on the road at Tampa.
I'm going to get a Frank Gore Dolphins jersey. I've been slacking.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I'm going to get that. I'm going to get that.
The new ones ain't bad, too. They did some adjustments look nice. Now. They're much more clean than they were before.
Yeah, adjustments are good.
AKA Uni Watch.
Yeah. I got you.
Total on this Eagles-Bucks game, 43.5. I have no interest in betting this game. I don't know what I'm getting with the Eagles. Tampa, that's probably a one-week anomaly. That being said, I think they'll be okay offensively, but they're not playing. You know, I think the Eagles have a better D than the Saints do. I don't know. Anything to say about this one, Mo? It's a total pass game for me. I need to see more from these two teams.
I didn't even really get up early enough to watch Ryan Fitzsavage go off on the Saints. So when I seen the score, I thought it was like a joke.
Well, Dirk Cotter, the Bucs coach, saying Fitz magic is alive and well makes me want to just pound the Eagles -3 because that's just the most cheesy, worst comment I heard of the weekend. I'm like, oh, my God, enough.
Fitz Savage is real. You know, he's
that's
a grizzled vet.
That's good. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, that one,
I mean, Fitz
that
magic,
one.
It's like he's the guy. If the guy is Fitz magic, he's pretty much been doing, like, street magic his whole life. he ain't performing in the big arenas, I can tell you that.
Well, he's about to figure out some stuff against this Eagles team. my bad. I apologize. Damn, on air. I'm losing it.
He's lost. We're moving on. I don't even like this game. We're moving. Let's go. Cleveland at New Orleans.
What a save.
New Orleans -8.5. There's a 9.5 out there. Total's 49.5. There's a 49.50. I mean, just numbers all over the place. I'm not sure quite what to make of the Saints yet with the week one loss. I kind of thought that spread was high. But, you know, I'm not rushing out to bet the Browns here. I don't think they're nearly as explosive as, you know, Tampa because they have Mike Evans, they have Deshaun Jackson, and part of the problem for them was just getting these guys the football. So Cleveland comes in a little bit more pedestrian, I guess, offensively. Not as big. I mean, Josh Gordon, I suppose, is probably somewhere in the poor man's Deshaun Jackson type of a receiver as far as his ability to go deep. But I mean, I don't know. I feel like the Saints got embarrassed at home. I can't see them losing this game or probably even making this that close. I mean, 14 sounds probably right. So you're probably, this is probably a game you're fair with teasing / parlaying, but I'm not one to lay giant spreads unless I think it's a 4-touchdown kind of game.
This is Saints Browns?
Yeah, in New Orleans, 8.5.
Oh my God, it's just a disaster. No, my bad.
Can you imagine if they start 0-2 though? Home losses to the Browns and the Bucks. I mean, will they just have to close?
The whole thing's coming to a halt. It would be funny to see where the numbers end up, you know, like from an adjustment standpoint. Mm-hmm. But just like the media is going to be thrashing them.
Oh, that would be incredible.
Well, we're going to be thrashing them. Oh, so no we're question. Gonna, you know, it's just going to be a whirlwind of hell for the Saints. They better pull it together here.
I'm not sicko that's going to bet them in week three because they lost outright to the Bucks and the Browns. Probably like so much point value because of whatever reason that they just played bad. It'd be incredible. Yeah, no.
And then they're going to win by 3 touchdowns.
Exactly.
Basically a prediction here coming in hot, what we got going on.
Bergstradamus stealing from Mostradamus at the moment.
With that, I'm just going to go with that take. I'm okay with
all
that.
All right, right on.
Beautiful, yeah.
All right, Arizona at the L.A. Rams. Rams minus 12.5 after their embarrassment of the Raiders. They open, I believe, 10. There is a 12 out there. Dude. 45.5. Is what we have. There's a 46.5. I gotta be honest. If I was not, I was pretty confident the Rams were going to blow out the Raiders. I thought that line was bad. It got bet like it was bad, and you know, it was one of the few games the public was actually right on. The Raiders, you know, they battled for a while, but eventually the wheels fell off. The Cardinals. I mean, I've been saying I don't like this team. I think their win total was way too high. That being said, if I see 14 here, I'd probably back Arizona.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, especially in NFC West battles that I've seen, you know, throughout my lifetime, you know, being a Niners fan, usually grabbing the double digits is probably your best bet. So, yeah, anything that gets a little bit higher, Cardinals seems well. Otherwise, if they get smoked, then they might just be another 0-16 team in the NFL in my list of 0-16 teams of this year.
I don't think they're quite that bad, but we'll see.
Okay. All right. But you wouldn't be surprised, though, right?
No, you'd be surprised. I'd be surprised. Yeah, I'd be surprised. I think they're like a 3-4-win team. But, yeah, they're not
good. I was going to prove like a fake point, but it just seemed pretty crazy. So.
Yeah, the Cardinals really need to pick like third in the NFL draft and immediately draft a lineman. They got to get some kid that's just going to come out and start mauling veterans. All right, yeah. Detroit at Moe's, San Francisco 49ers.
Hello.
Another line that I loved when I first saw it, it was 3. It's now 5.5, and there's even a 6 out there. Too high for my blood now. I thought 3 was a joke. I think San Francisco played a much better team in week 1 in one of the toughest buildings to play. I expect a much better effort from them. That being said, Matthew Stafford had one of the worst games of his career, so I get the feeling he'll be back. Anything here, I'd probably go lean towards the over.
Sure. Yeah. No. I'm actually in agreement here. 105 start. You know, should be good for both teams. Mm. 49ers have a tough game there against on the East Coast against Minnesota. Play a tough defense in a tough environment. And Detroit just absolutely gets wrecked at home. Mm. You know, from what I've known or what I've seen, you know, being real, is that it's hard to fix defenses within a week. You know, teams that, you know, a couple flaws are fine, but you know, if it's a whole mess of them, it's hard to really get them and put it together, especially going on the road. So I like more Niners here with Jimmy G coming back. I think they'll be a little bit more comfortable. And I think they'll be able to get their footing here against a team that's still working on their defense. So I think the Niners did well defensively against the Vikings. It seemed like they were kind of more out of it than they already were. They still had a chance at the end. This is where Detroit, where obviously over is what I think we like there. What you like, I know for sure. The Niners get out ahead and cover the spread still.
Nice. I got New England minus 2.5 at Jacksonville. Rematch the AFC Championship game. There is actually a 1.5 and a 2 out there. Jacksonville total 45.5. I get the feeling that Jacksonville is going to win this game. I wasn't overly impressed with the Patriots offense. I felt like Gronkowski was the only guy that was doing a whole lot for them. And Jacksonville looked pretty good against the Giants. I think they made the Giants look worse than they actually are, in my opinion. But, I mean, their offense is still, you know, shaky, but they're at home. They're going to remember that whole game and what they didn't do correct, which was finish. So I expect an inspired effort from the defense and just get the feeling the Jags are going to win this game. I think the 2.5, the 1.5, the 2s, just it's designed for the public to lay this number with the Patriots.
I hope the Jags win every game 20-15. Like, I mean, that just seems like that is the Jag. Like, that just seems like Jags 20. You know what I mean? So hopefully they keep Tom Brady, you know, guessing on defense. And, you know, for many years, I keep looking at the Patriots as like they're going to get in. But I need to see them losing soon. So how about now? How about Jags?
Nice. You know,
figure it out. Let's go Jags. Jesus Christ.
Oakland at Denver. Denver laying 5.5 total, 46. There's a 45.5 out there. This is the one spread that's pretty much off of a key number, like a 3 or a 7, where it's across the board. Everybody has 5.5. I might be crazy here, but I kind of like the Raiders a little bit. Denver looked pretty good against Seattle. I don't know that Seattle's D is any better than Oakland's this year, which might be a crazy take to people out there, but I just get the feeling that they're not a whole lot better. I thought Oakland played pretty well against the Rams. The turnovers just really, really got them. I mean, that is what sealed the deal for LA. I don't know. I just feel like they'll have a better game plan here for Denver. They're not as talented on defense as they've been in the past. They still have that great pass rush, but with, you know, Carr's turnovers and Monday night, I think they're going to work on getting the ball out of his hands a little quicker. There was a thing where Marshawn Lynch was actually really sick after the first drive of the game. So I think
he was sick?
Yeah.
Like physically ill?
Yeah, physically ill, yeah. I just found that out today. So I think Oakland will have a better game plan. I think offensively they're going to surprise some people in this game. Not saying they win, but I do like the points here a little bit. I think I'll be looking for 6 once I think the parlays and all that stuff start rolling. I don't think the Raiders will inspire much confidence of how they got hammered at home.
Oakland's another one of those teams. If they don't win, they're going to go on 16, fake point. So with that being said, I still, you know, within a division game, just give me the points. But, yeah, man, like, I mean, just offensively, if you're going to have a second half like that, I mean, obviously I know the Rams' defense is pretty superb and they really turned it on. But I mean, if you can only get your actual wide receivers the ball so many times, you're not going to win many games. So at least, you know, get the ball out quicker. I mean, these are great things here, but you know, I don't know. Show some energy, or you're going to get smoked. So yeah, I'm still going to go with the 5.5, out the +5.5 or +6. But you know, if Denver gets out on them, Jesus Christ, John Gruden's got his hands full. Yeah.
Good possibility.
Yeah.
All right. We got two left on the board here. Sunday night game, New York Giants at the Dallas Cowboys. Huge surprise there on Sunday Night Football. Totally being sarcastic. Dallas.
I know, right? Dallas. Jesus Christ. How was it not week one?
I know, right? Man, what are they, like 2 years in a row or something? Week one?
Dude, I think it was like 4 years. I feel like we keep watching the same game. Is it the same game? They're tricking us.
Maybe they're just putting they're putting an old school VCR tape in and then just re-showing us an old game and none of us can pick up on it. I don't know.
The technology is too good. I mean, right. you could put a Jason Witten in 05 and make him look, you know, similar in 2016. Yeah, I know this.
They just put a different name on his jersey. It's understood.
It fucking kills me, man.
All right, so we got the Giants at Dallas, as we said. Dallas -3, total 42.5. There's a 42 out there. I, again, have to pass as this will be one of my big three plays. So, Mo, you got anything to say about this one?
You know what? You know, Dallas's offensive line, you know, they're in shambles. Seems like their defense can hang in there, but if they can't block for Dak, it's going to be rough because, you know, obviously Prescott is getting affected by that and they don't have too many guys to throw it to. On the flip side, I like what you said about the Jags earlier when they beat the Giants. They made the Giants look less than what they actually were, and I do agree with that. I think taking 3 here is a gift. Even on the road, it's going to be a tough game no matter what they usually are. But give me some Giants in a close one here. Maybe a little bit of under, and I'll take the Giants outright in this one.
Very nice. All right, and then Monday night, Seattle travels to Chicago. The Bears laying 3 -20. There is a 3.5 or 2 out there. 43 is the total. 43.5 is out there also. This is an interesting one, man. I mean, I think that if the Bears bounce back and, you know, can find a way to emotionally get back from that loss, I think they're far and away a better team than the Seahawks. The thing that really worries me as a fan here is that they're going against another quarterback that can create magic. And it would not surprise me at all if the Bears were up, say, like 23-10, and then somehow Russell Wilson brings them back in the fourth quarter. Coach Matt.
Two fourth quarter. Oh, that'd be disgusting.
Yeah. You know, Bears new head coach Matt Nagy really has to like focus in on finishing games, not being so conservative on the offensive side of the ball. They really just, you know, they let them come back. You know what I mean? Granted, Rodgers is great. He makes incredible plays, but I was more disappointed in the fact that we didn't really get after it gas pedal wise. You know, I think that we got just too conservative in the beginning part of the fourth quarter, and we just didn't really put any pressure on them to make plays. We didn't want to make mistakes. Hopefully it's a learning thing for him. And, you know, it's big time in the NFL. You got to go out and win. Kickers are for losers, as my friend John Murray says, which is 100% true, since facts. I'm the guy that always says, I want to get rid of them, period. Get rid of them.
Field goals are rough, man. Oh, they're brutal. Jesus.
What do you think, Mo?
You know, because I don't know how much shotgun the Seahawks even run, just in general. Like, I just have no idea. But they had to put Rodgers back there, obviously, because he couldn't even put pressure on the knee at all, which could be a lie anyway. Someone was telling me earlier, let me see the MRI.
Right.
Like, give me the tape. And it was a great – because I was thinking, like, is he even hurt? I don't care what he looked like.
I literally got a text from a friend that said, and people try to tell me this isn't scripted.
Dude, I mean, come on. To get on with it, on one side, I want to see the Seahawks lose every game.
Sure.
That's just a personal thing. And I like the Bears. I'm on the Bears this year as well, man. So obviously that was rough to watch. But I loved what I seen out of Trubisky. He's got pretty decent feet in the pocket, and he can get out and create. And I seen a lot of that. And, if the Seahawks can't get a decent pass rush going, I think he can have a lot of time to kind of maneuver and make moves. I like when Cohen's in the game, kind of like an X factor. You can put him in different places, and he can get you pretty decent yards for a small guy. You jack of all trades type of guy.
I can't remember who that DN was for the Packers, but he did a hell of a job picking that Cohen movement out of the backfield. That was going to be a touchdown if he didn't have that perfect coverage there.
Oh, he was on the wheel route?
Yeah, wheel route, like exactly.
I
was impressed. He dropped back and he got behind it. You know, obviously, Cohen's going to get behind you, but he created enough doubt there for Trubisky to throw it over the top, especially with Cohen being so short.
Yeah,
so
surreal.
That was a great play in that game.
The Packers did the right things. It's just tough for the Bears.
I think the moment was a little big for Trubisky, especially with the year that he had last year, where he was playing games where he had like 16 passes attempted and things. It's almost like he's having to redo his rookie year. So,
on that last drive, when they got three consecutive first downs, they were killing clock. You know, it's just when any quarterback gets inside, like, you know, the 25, the field gets just real short, you know. So I think what you're saying, like, in that moment when he gets there, that was the tough part for him. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I think at a certain point it just becomes, I'm playing Aaron Rodgers on Sunday Night Football, and he's cut it to six, and now now we're behind. It's a tough spot, and I think that he played really well in portions, and I think that speaks to his youth. I think he's got the talent to be great, but he's still a work in progress, and I think that's the thing that the Bears have to hope just comes along as the season goes, and in the next couple of years, with all the talent they have, they can put it all together.
I just like because they, I just figured like the Bears tried to do enough, even though Rodgers got the momentum after that big touchdown. They were trying to do or kill as much time. You know, they just weren't making the right plays. I don't know if it was play calling, but
partially.
No, that last drive when they got the three consecutive first downs and took it to like the 20, like that was, I was like, man, that was, I was really impressed.
Yeah.
It just sucks that they, you know, they had to kick what you hate the most, the field goal. That's what I'm saying.
And
that was the rough part.
Realistically, I think one thing coaches should always keep in mind in the NFL too is that, you know, to me, what I would always say is that, you know, it was a 3-point game, right? And we already know Rodgers is so capable of just going, I'm going to march this right down the field and we're going to win this game. We know that.
Yeah.
He's done it just too many times. So I look at it like, why why get yourself in a situation like that when you have fourth and one? Go for it. If you don't get it and they go down the field and at worst they kick a field goal, the game's tied. Cool, the game continues. If they score a touchdown, Otherwise. Now you need a touchdown to win the game. And if you lose by four, you go to the press conference and say, look, I'm here to coach a winning football team. And sometimes to win, you got to make plays. And if we don't get 1 yard in that situation on the road, then we probably didn't deserve to win.
But you lose there instead of on the way.
Yeah, out. I think coaches underrate that when they play certain teams. And I think for a team like the Bears, who have had so many problems with the Packers in the Favre era and the Rodgers era, that they really should have taken advantage of that chance to go for the jugular, especially when they went for the run. They didn't go for the run on third and one. I think Nagy probably should have went for the run there and then tried to throw on fourth and one, putting a lot of pressure on the defense, knowing they're going for it. Just my take. I just feel like, granted, I'm a partial fan here, but I think that you, in those situations on the road, you got to get aggressive. You got to try to win games on the road.
Altogether, the pass that Fuller dropped, the interception.
Brutal.
It's just one of those ones where it's so, like, it gets to you so quick and so that you end up dropping it.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? He clearly looked stunned that the ball came to him. Like, and it was partially because it was the Packer wide receiver, I forget who he was targeting, might have been Adams, and then one of the other cross route covered somebody else. They crashed, and then so Rodgers threw a timing pass there. That's the only reason it even ended up near Fuller is because the Packer fell down.
Yeah,
two
no,
guys
that's,
crashing into
you know,
each other.
A lot of people were giving Fuller a lot, but it's happens. Like the ball's like right. You know what I mean? Like,
but as
dude,
they
I'm,
say though,
if you've played you have, or you know,
yeah, it's one of those that's like it is a tough catch, even though it doesn't look like a tough catch. But at the same time, with the situation, you have to make that catch. Do you know what I mean?
That ball was going to be in the air, Deion Sanders style. For sure.
That was ball game, 100%.
And then the ball's getting punted out of the end zone, like for sure. He's putting his finger up to the face mask. Bears are going wild.
Yeah, I hope the team just focuses on that aspect, is that they had multiple chances to win that game, and they let it slip away. But it's one game. They got 15 left.
Yeah.
So get over it, you know?
But with that being said, I like the Bears. How about that?
Nice.
I didn't forget it.
All right. Well, we're at the end here. We're running too long on these people. So Mo, let's talk the list, buddy. I don't think we've actually officially ever brought up the list before. So tell us about it.
Well, I usually do a rundown of and this is on my Twitter at Heed These Takes, if anyone wants to know. And I usually do it from time to time. I'm going to try to do it more periodically within, like, the weeks of teams that'll never lose again and or never win again. And on my updated release on teams who'll never lose again, my college football edition, I went in this order, Tua Tagovailoa, Kansas Jayhawk football on the road, Eastern Michigan versus unranked opponents, Herm Edwards, not Kevin Sumlin, the Rainbow Warriors, 3-0. Anyone who plays UConn football, and for Lindy, Kentucky Cats football against the Gators from here on out.
Nice. Oh, I love that one.
Hey, hold on. And this is a take that an undisclosed person gave me, but Bucks are going to win the NFC South. How about that?
Wow, look at that.
Yeah. When that loses, I'm gonna display who it is later on. So.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love it,
man.
That's a wild one. I like it though.
It's pretty sick. It started with Bucks in the playoffs, and then somehow we escalated to Bucks to win the NFC South. So
okay,
even more ridiculous.
Yeah. Let's just keep piling it on. Yeah, I get it though. I get it. All right. Well, that will about do it for this week. This week's show will be coming to you later in the week, of course, with the Big Three. I hope to have our boys Kyle and Matt back on the show.
Hey.
And Mo and I will wrap it up again. And thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed the show. And be sure to give us some follows on Twitter, Cash Considering. If you guys can leave a review on our iTunes page, if you listen through iTunes, that'd be fantastic. Share it with your friends. And we hope to get you guys some more winners this week. Take care, everyone.